Mark chapter 14 records the Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. Verse 26 tells us that after the Passover meal, they sang a hymn before going to the Mount of Olives. That hymn was a psalm from the Egyptian Hallel, a group of psalms that I have been telling you about for several Sundays that was used to celebrate the Passover meal. Here is a helpful quote from Dr. Willem Mangemeren's commentary. The Egyptian Hallel psalms received a special place in the Passover liturgy, as Psalms 113 and 114 were recited or sung before the festival meal, and 115 through 118 after it. Knowing that historical use of Psalm 113 through 118 is helpful, I hope you have come to appreciate that as we've moved through these psalms, and I hope you especially appreciate that today as we look at the amazing, comforting message of Psalm 118, which is the last psalm of the Egyptian Hallel. Psalm 118 can fill you with sure, confident hope in the Lord Jesus and with great gratitude for what he has done and will do. This is an awesome psalm of praise and thanksgiving, quoted or referred to often in the New Testament. My prayer for this sermon is that all of us will leave here saying the words of this psalm as our own, from the depth of our hearts. May we say these words as our words. I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 118. And if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God. We recognize that this is his holy, inspired word to Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength, and my song has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. I'll give thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Father God Almighty, thank you for this great psalm. And now we pray that you would open our minds to the meaning of this psalm. And Father, fill our hearts with praise to you. May our lips, may our hearts say these words as our words. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Let's begin to dig into this great psalm by considering the connection to the Exodus. That's what I'm calling my first point, the connection to the Exodus. Under this heading, we will learn why this psalm was included in the Egyptian Hallel to celebrate the Passover and why it is fittingly the end of the Egyptian Hallel. First of all, notice that Psalm 118 continues the truth of Psalm 117. Remember here that all these psalms were sung during the Passover celebration. And just like in our worship services, we continue often to declare a truth from song to song. So Psalm 118 continues to declare the truth of Psalm 117. It expands on it. Look at the two psalms. Psalm 117 ends declaring, "For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And then Psalm 118 begins declaring, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his steadfast love endures forever." It's not hard to miss the theme of steadfast love, is it? The steadfast love of the Lord. Last Sunday when we looked at Psalm 117, we learned that it makes sense that the theme of steadfast love is part of the Egyptian Hallel because the Exodus event is a stunning, awesome example of the steadfast love of the Lord. For before any descendants of Abraham were born, the Lord made a covenant promise with Abraham that he would rescue his descendants from Egypt. Way back in Genesis 15, long before the Israelites ended up in Egypt, we hear the Lord say to Abraham, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. The 400 years is the time in Egypt. They will be afflicted for 400 years, but I will bring judgment on the nation and that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions.'" That covenant promise is why the Exodus event happened. The Lord was faithful. His love was steadfast. And last week we learned that the Lord's ultimate end was to bless families from all nations. Back in Genesis 12, we hear the Lord say to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That promise is why we are here this morning worshiping the Lord. He is keeping his promise. He is blessing families from all nations and all time periods. So we learned last week that Psalm 117 not only exhorts the Israelites to praise the Lord, it exhorts all people of all nations to praise the Lord. "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all people," says the passionate exhortation of Psalm 117. And Psalm 118 continues that exhortation. Verses 2 and 3 are a call for the Israelites to praise the Lord. And verse 4 is a call for all people who fear the Lord to praise the Lord. That includes Gentiles, people from any nation. So, Psalm 118 clearly continues the truth of Psalm 117. That's a connection to the Egyptian Hallel and hence the Exodus event. And a second connection is this. Psalm 118 gives fitting testimony from one individual. I say fitting because it brings to mind the Exodus. Listen to verses 5 through 7. "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." That is exactly what the Israelites experienced during the Exodus. They cried out in distress to the Lord, and the Lord answered. Listen to what the Lord himself said to Moses. I'm going to add to the screen Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. The Lord mentions here their crying and coming down to help, to be on their side. And in Psalm 118, we have an individual testifying that he cried for help, and we are told the Lord answered and set him free. Many individual Israelites in Egypt lifted up that cry and were set free from their slavery. The individual testimony we hear in Psalm 118 fits well with the Exodus event. And dear friends, listen to this. This testimony is an example for us to follow. That's the application we're headed to. We should follow the example of this psalm. The Israelites sang this song during the Passover that they might remember and celebrate what happened, spurring them on to also cry to the Lord for help in their distress and place their hope and trust in the Lord. And as we now read this psalm from our New Testament perspective, we too should remember and celebrate what the Lord has done and cry for help from Him in our distress, knowing He will answer, knowing He will be on our side, He will be our helper. That's where we're headed for application, making this psalm our psalm. The individual testimony of the psalm is not only fitting for the Israelites living in Egypt, it's fitting for us. Very fitting. Let's keep learning and see how true this is. I'll now point out a third connection to the Exodus, namely, Psalm 118 quotes a verse from the Exodus. It quotes what Moses said after one of the key events of the Exodus. Look at verses 14 through 16. They say, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. God's songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Verse 14, which I have underlined, is a quote from the song of Moses that the people sang after Pharaoh and his army were defeated at the Red Sea. The song is recorded in Exodus 15. I'll add that to the screen, the first couple verses of the song. Exodus 15 records, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Verse 2 is exactly what we find in Psalm 118, verse 14. And Psalm 118 goes on to speak of the valiant hand of the Lord, which fits perfectly with the Lord dividing the Red Sea, conquering Pharaoh and the army. These verses unmistakably connect to the beginning of the Exodus when the Israelites were freed from Egypt. So that's a third extremely clear connection to the Exodus event. And a fourth connection is that Psalm 118 mentions open gates. It mentions open gates. Listen to verses 19 through 21. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The mention of gates of righteousness being opened brings to mind the gates of the temple in Jerusalem. The psalmist wants to enter the gates. He wants to enter the temple in Jerusalem in the promised land. So this psalm brings to mind both the beginning of the Exodus and the end of the Exodus. It brings to mind the Israelites leaving Egypt, and it brings to mind the Israelites entering the gates of the temple in Jerusalem. This was a great psalm to sing during the year-to-year celebration of the Passover. Here's what Dr. James Boyce wrote about this in his commentary. Quote, when we trace this progression, the progression of Psalm 118, the cry for help, the deliverance, the entry through the gates, when we trace this progression, we understand why Psalm 118 is the last and climactic psalm in the Egyptian Hallel. Its parts suggest the passage of Israel from slavery in Egypt to the security and joy of Mount Zion, which is where the temple is located. So this psalm was perfect for the celebration of the Passover, especially when they were doing so in Jerusalem. And it must have given the Israelites great comfort and sure hope to sing verses. Like verses 6 and 7, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Those are uplifting words. And as I've been saying, the application we're leading up to is that the words of Psalm 118 can and should be our words. We can and should say with great joy and thanksgiving, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let's keep reading from this psalm unto that end. What we're going to learn next reveals why this psalm can and should be our words. We are going to consider the connection to Christ. The connection to Christ is my next overall title, and one connection is Palm Sunday. Look at verse 25 of the psalm. It says, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Verse 25 is a prayer. It's an urgent petition. And the first two words, save us, really summarize the whole petition. You don't really need the rest of the words of verse 25 to communicate this urgent prayer. You can simply cry out, save us, save us. That's the heart of the petition. Now, the Hebrew words translated save us are Hosanna. Hosanna. And I'm wondering, do those words remind you of anything? Hosanna. Before I mention what the Hebrew might remind you of, let me show you what the psalmist goes on to write in verse 26, which I'm adding to the screen. The psalmist writes, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So in summary, we have Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. With that in mind, we're now going to turn to the New Testament. And we're going to hear what happened on Palm Sunday. On that Sunday before the crucifixion, Jesus and his disciples and many, many Jews were entering Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Here is what the Gospel of Mark records. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. So does Hosanna. Now sound familiar? Hosanna sounds a lot like Hosanna because Hosanna is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew Hosanna. So as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the people were quoting Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. They were saying, Hosanna, their Greek version of Hosanna, save us, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, think about this. They were making the words of Psalm 118 their own words. They were shouting the words to Jesus. Psalm 118 was on their minds because they would be using this psalm during the Passover. And as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they made the words of Psalm 118 their own words. They shouted the words to Jesus. Hosanna, save us. So Palm Sunday is one very clear connection to Psalm 118, or of Psalm 118 to Christ. And it's an example to us that we should make these words of the psalm our own words. Listen, we all need to cry out to the Lord, save us. We all need to make that cry, that urgent petition, save us. That is the key application. Save us. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us. Let's keep learning unto that end. Palm Sunday is one connection to Christ. There's a second connection as well. The connection is part of a parable Jesus told on the Tuesday following Palm Sunday. Look at verses 22 through 23 of our psalm. The verses say, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. These verses are referring to how the nation of Israel was rejected by the world. They were made slaves in Egypt. And by their own strength, they never could have defeated any nation. Remember, they were even afraid to enter the promised land. Israel was a stone rejected by other nations that were being built up. The other nations gave Israel little thought. They rejected that little stone. But by God's power, Israel decimated Egypt. And the Israelites entered the promised land, conquering other nations. They became a great nation and established the temple in Jerusalem. The Israelites who left Egypt became the cornerstone of a great nation. Now, with that in mind, let me take you to the parable Jesus told. The parable is recorded in Mark chapter 12, and Jesus told it in response to the chief priests and the scribes challenging him. Remember, this is just 2 days after Palm Sunday, just days before the crucifixion. We read, starting with verse 1, and he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to the tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat, some they killed. He still had one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, they will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. To explain his parable, Jesus quoted the verses from Psalm 118. And by doing so, Jesus was saying the verses are ultimately about him. These verses are ultimately about Jesus. Jesus was telling the religious leaders, you are going to reject me. You're going to kill me. By your very action, I am going to become the cornerstone of the church. I'm going to build a great nation. The cornerstone, or the connection to Jesus, is so significant. This idea of him being the cornerstone, it is mentioned 3 more times in the New Testament. I have the references listed on the screen. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. You can also find the parable we read and the verses in other Gospels. So this is throughout the Scriptures. These verses from Psalm 118 are pointed at to say Jesus is the cornerstone. The apostles knew how significant is this connection to Christ. Psalm 118 is ultimately about Jesus and all who cry out to him, save us. I will put the truth this way. Christ came into this world so that the words of Psalm 118 can be our words. Dear friends, know this day that Jesus came to this earth as a man to answer the cry of Hosanna, save us. He came to rescue us from slavery to sin and bring us to the true promised land. We all need that salvation. Our world is full of chaos and pain because it's a fallen world. We feel the distress on a week-to-week basis, don't we? Because we live in a fallen world, we are all sinners, and we all need this salvation Jesus came to bring. And so I'm calling my last point this morning, the connection to you. The connection of Psalm 118 to you. Listen to this. The words of this psalm become your words when you first of all recognize that you personally need the salvation Jesus came to give. You need to be cleansed of your sins. Jesus came to do so. He came to this earth as a man. He lived a perfect, righteous life. He died bearing the sins of those who do believe on him. And he conquered the grave that you might live and not die. Cry out to him for that salvation. Confess your sins. Ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you, to be your Lord, your Savior. Hosanna, save us. Cry it out. And 2, trust in Jesus to answer your cry. That's another way the words of Psalm 118 become our words. Trust in Jesus to answer your cry for salvation. Know that his love is indeed steadfast. Know that the Lord is your strength and your song. Know that he has become your salvation. Know that you will not die but live. Know that he has opened the gates of righteousness that you may enter in. Put your hope in Jesus alone. That's another way to make this psalm your psalm. And 3, publicly give Jesus, the Lord God, your praise and thanks. Give him thanks. This is another way the words of this psalm become your words. Publicly give Jesus thanks. Listen to the last verses of the psalm, starting with verse 27. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. He came into this world, as we've been learning, he has made his light shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 27 is a call to come to the temple. Come before the Lord with an offering of thanksgiving and praise. And verses 28 and 29 are the words of thanksgiving and praise. You are my God, I will extol you. And note the words contain a desire. for others to join you in giving thanks to the Lord. We don't merely praise the Lord in this sanctuary. We go out of this sanctuary to tell others about the steadfast love of the Lord, urging them to know Him and give Him thanks and praise as well. May all of us leave here with the words of this psalm being our words, our personal words. Let's say these words from the depth of our heart. Let's cry out for that salvation. Let's give thanks and glory to the Lord. Let's extol Him now. Let's extol Him always, that other people may join in the praise of Him. Let's bow in prayer, and then we will sing our praise to the Lord. Our Father God, how awesome it is to open your word to one psalm and see how it's connected to the rest of the Bible. Again and again, as we open your word, we see that the Bible is one book, it's one story, it's all about Jesus. We thank you for your plan of salvation that you had from the very beginning. We thank you for your steadfast love, for your faithfulness, for your covenant promise. We thank you that you first loved us while we were sinners. You died for us. We praise your name. Father, we recognize we do need the salvation your Son came to give. And we cry out for that. Save us, Lord. Forgive us. Transform us. Fill us with your Spirit. Make us new people, born again. Father God, if there's any person in this church today, if there's any person live streaming who doesn't yet know this great salvation your Son came to give, we pray that you would do a mighty work right now in this person's heart and bring them, Father, into your family. Adopt them as your child. Fill them with your Spirit. Open their eyes to your great salvation. May their heart cry out, save us, save me. And Father, we pray that we would always extol you with every aspect of our lives, with our living, with our dying. May we extol you knowing that we will not really die. We will live and worship you forever, which we so look forward to. To you be the glory, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.